Just going to open with a quick prayer. Dear Lord, may your transforming love be apparent in the words that I give today, that your love can be felt palpably here in this place today, and that my words honor your great love for all of us. Amen. Please be seated. Well, good morning, everybody. So here we are in the depths of winter, an icy cold day, talking about a wedding, the wedding of Cana. Now, I know there's just been a very special wedding here in this place between Sophie Rigby and Ed Cheeseman, but this isn't the normal time of year to be thinking about weddings, is it? So why, for centuries, has the church always used this reading on Epiphany 3? If we're going to think about weddings, why don't we do it in June? Or perhaps harvest, because the story is all about turning water into wine. So harvest time, grapes, winemaking. Why don't we talk about the wedding of Cana then? That would seem to make more sense. But actually, there's a very important reason why we think about the wedding of Cana at this time. And that's because it's one of the three epiphanies in Scripture that reveal something to us about the divine nature of Jesus. And as Christians, we need to remember these important truths at the start of each and every year. So just to remind you, Epiphany comes from the Greek word meaning manifestation or appearance when something important is revealed. And so far this Epiphany, here's what we've learned about Jesus. Well, with the story of the three wise men, we learned all about God's incarnation and the baby Jesus being revealed to all the nations. And then in the baptism of Jesus, we found out who he really is, that he is the Son of God with whom God is well pleased. And how about the wedding of Cana that we're looking at today? It's the place where Jesus first reveals his glory, his true divine purpose to transform the world in love. Now, the other two epiphanies, if you like, were what God did. They were divine manifestations. So God sent the star to lead the Magi. He sent the dove, which appeared as the Holy Spirit descending on Christ during his baptism. But at Cana, we can see Jesus doing it for himself. Here's where we first see him in action. Jesus to the rescue, you could say. And his actions speak louder than words. The wedding at Cana is also sometimes described as a super gospel because of its spiritual importance. Now, on one level, it's just a simple story about a lovely wedding that starts well but then goes horribly wrong with the terrible embarrassment of running out of wine. Perhaps I should check. Andy, you had enough wine for Sophie's wedding? Yeah. Just checking. But yeah, it would have been pretty embarrassing to run out of wine. I think you would have agreed. Right. But on another deeper level, this story is theologically profound. And if that wasn't enough, the wedding at Cana is also hugely important as the first of the seven signs of John's gospel. So what does that mean? Well, John uses these seven signs or miracles, again, to reveal just who Jesus is, but also what he came to do in order to lead people to believe in him, just as the disciples in Cana did. Okay, so what are the other six signs? Well, very quickly, just to remind you, they're the healing of an officer's son and a disabled man at Bethesda, the feeding of the 5,000, walking on water, the healing of the blind man, and the raising of Lazarus. Whew! I've just raced you through John's gospel. But the first of these signs, the wedding at Cana, is the most important sign because it sets the ruling principle for Jesus' entire ministry and purpose. It's key to the other signs that follow. So we really need to understand its meaning. Now, when my kids were little, our favorite family game was Cluedo. Have any of you ever played the game of Cluedo? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Okay, so you've got, the object of the game is you've got to solve a mystery, a murder mystery, as it turns out, which might seem a little bit off topic. But you have to spot clues in a series of rooms to figure out who did it. So was it Colonel Mustard with a lead pipe in the billiard room? Or was it Miss Scarlet who did it with a knife in the library? Or perhaps a better analogy is to see the seven signs of John's gospel as a treasure hunt, which is what the theologian Tom Wright suggests that we do, where each sign provides clues as to the importance and significance of Jesus. Now, the wedding of Cana contains one major clue and lots of minor ones, which tell us even more about him. So how about we try and figure it out? Let's spot the clues. So if I can have our gospel reading on the screen, let's see if you can identify some important words or phrases or symbols in this story that reveal something about Jesus. So have a go. Just shout out what you see. Let's see if we can solve this mystery. What are some key words, phrases, or symbols that strike you in this story? How about if I just start with one, and then that'll get us going, and it'll give you a little bit more time to think. Well, how about wedding? This is about the wedding of Cana. Well, a wedding is, of course, all about love. So just as a marriage is a new beginning for two people who are joined together in love, Jesus came to usher in a new era of God's love for us. So as disciples of Jesus, we are also called to the marriage of the old and the new order. And Jesus is the bridegroom and the church is his bride. So there's a lot in just a single word, isn't there? So how about some other words, phrases, symbols? Any other ideas? Ah, thank you, Brenda. Okay. Well, that should remind us all about Jesus's forthcoming death, the hour when he is lifted on the cross to die for our sins. Because this scripture also points to the fact that this new era of love only comes through, ultimately, Jesus' death and resurrection. There's another key phrase there, the very beginning words of this scripture also foreshadow Jesus' death on the third day. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven. That's what probably reverberates in a lot of our minds. Okay, Roger. Yes, yes. Hang on to that thought. That's a very important thought, which I'll come on to in just a minute. But there are lots of clues here. But the biggest one is probably the water being turned into wine. This is the biggest clue of all, because what it means is that Jesus brings transformation. That he transformed the water into wine. Jesus transforms lives. That's what it's all about. Jesus transforms lives. He has come to bring the new wine of the gospel in contrast to the water of the old faith. And not only are we as individuals transformed by accepting the lordship of Jesus, but the gifts of that transformation have to be given freely to others, just as the wine was to all the guests at the wedding, who must have had a jolly good time, because if you calculate the volume of wine that Jesus made, it was something like 1,000 bottles of wine. So it must have been a very, very good wedding. But even the turning of water into wine also foreshadows the day when all things are made new through Jesus' resurrection. See what I mean about this being theologically profound? There is so much in this one scripture. Well, there are a lot of other things I could mention. I think those are probably the most important ones, but there is actually one of these phrases that I love in the scripture, which is being filled to the brim. The servants filled the water jar, not just partway or nearly full, but to the brim. This is John's way of pointing out the transformation in our lives that occurs when we accept Jesus as Lord. We too are filled to the brim by the Holy Spirit. And it shows that God gives us not just an abundance, but an overabundance in this new life offered by Jesus, and that we should be overflowing, indeed, positively drunk with his love. And the final words, or nearly the final words, saving the best till now. Of course, the best has come with Jesus, because he is our new wine, the Son of God, the long-awaited Messiah. And that good wine that Jesus offers us is salvation and eternal life. Okay, so we've looked at this story for lots of treasures, for lots of clues that I hope have helped to piece together the profound importance of this scripture, the importance of Jesus. The story of the wedding at Cana shows us the transforming power of God's love for us. And of course, it takes place because the one who so loved the world that he gave his life for it died for us upon the cross. Now, I want you, just for a minute now, to think about your own life. What clues in your own life show the transforming love of Jesus? Now, in my life, some of the things I can point to are my conversion experience, when I first became a Christian, when I did the Alpha course, feeling filled to the brim by the Holy Spirit, and being transformed since then. In fact, God's taken me on a whole new career direction, to become an environmentalist, caring for creation. That's all God's doing. I wasn't an environmentalist until I became a Christian. And discovering new interests, like pilgrimage, which I've enjoyed sharing here at St. Stephen's, and I hope you've enjoyed too. And discovering new gifts to use in God's service, including occasional preaching. So we should always give thanks and praise for what Jesus has already done in our lives, and of course, that transformation should never stop. For as Christians, we should want to become more and more like Jesus. But perhaps right now, you are feeling like an empty water jar that needs to be filled with the best wine. Or perhaps that someone you love is feeling very empty at this time. If so, please take the opportunity to be prayed for or to pray for your loved one during this service. Here at St. Stephen's, of course, we're looking forward to a new era when Jen, our new vicar, will be joining us this March. So how should we be preparing for this exciting time of new beginnings and new hope for us as a church family and for our community? Now, the Old Testament reading that Jan read to us today from Isaiah, it's also about a change that is coming, and that change is Jesus. That reading calls on us to prepare for a time of flourishing and rejoicing. How? Through constant prayer. We should not be silent before God if we want him to act here in Sharamil. And how can the message of Cana help us to prepare for this new era of transforming love to be shared freely with those around us? That scripture tells us that God needs his people to work alongside him. Just look at the divine teamwork that happened at Cana. As Roger spotted, Mary, the example of Mary, who is prompted by God to speak to Jesus about what needs to be done to solve a particular problem. Now, as a mother, I and quite a few of us here can identify that nudging sons into action is something that quite often mothers seem to do. But in this story, Mary sees that there's a problem, an embarrassing problem of there not being enough wine that affects not just particular individuals, but the well-being of the whole community. So much for Mary's meek and mild reputation, that woman is bold. She speaks out. Her God has honored her, a humble woman, marginalized in society. It was God who gave her the word that kick-started Jesus into action at the beginning of his ministry. And what would have happened if Mary hadn't spoken out and hadn't been listened to by Jesus? And look at Jesus, who springs into action, but only once he's determined that he's doing God's will in Cana to fill those water jars and turn them into wine. He's doing God's will to honor God and not himself. Only then can he perform a miracle. And then look at the servants who follow Jesus' instructions, not just a little bit, but they follow them to the max, filling the 6 water jars absolutely to the brim. And of course, the disciples are there to witness it all. And they are turned into believers. So we're at kind of a difficult time as a congregation, being on our own without a vicar, waiting patiently, hopefully, and waiting on the Lord. And we're at a difficult time for our country too. And it's a time in our community when there are growing needs for the most vulnerable. So let us pray in this new coming era with Jen that we may seek as individuals and as a church to serve in new ways, bringing the transforming love of Christ to others so that they too may believe. And let us pray for God's help to speak when we hear his word to us, however unworthy or humble we might feel, to be like Mary, to see a need in our community which God wants us to respond to. And we need to seek to do God's will as Jesus did, acting in God's power and not our own, and to serve, listening to Jesus, following his instructions, just as the servants did, to help those in need and to freely share the gifts, the love that God has given us. Speak, seek, serve, and do all those things in love. That is the transforming power of Jesus in us, which was first seen at the wedding of Cana. Is it new life that we want? A life of abundance for us and for our community? to allow ourselves to be transformed from water to wine, from our old selves into the cherished, loved children of God. That is what we are promised if we follow Jesus and heed his words. A new era of love through the transforming love of Jesus. Can we drink to that? Amen.